Let's pray together. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
Friend, beloved God.
Friend, beloved God.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Babaji Krishna.
Babaji Krishna.
Lahiri Mahashaya.
Lahiri Mahashaya.
Swami Sri Yukteswar.
Swami Sri Yukteswar.
Beloved Master.
Beloved Master.
Paramhansa Yogananda.
Paramhansa Yogananda.
Saints of all religions.
Saints of all religions.
Humbly we bow to you all.
Humbly we bow to you all.
Open our hearts.
Open our hearts.
In devotion.
In devotion.
Receptivity.
Receptivity.
And courage.
And courage.
That we may hear your inner guidance.
That we may hear your inner guidance.
And respond with our whole hearts and minds.
And respond with our whole hearts and minds.
That we may live in this world.
That we may live in this world.
As your perfect instruments.
As your perfect instruments.
Om. Peace. Amen. Please be seated.
Tragedy
soon to befall. Who dreamed that the Savior would perish through hate? Palm Sunday, the multitudes gathered in joy, strewed palm fronds before him at Jerusalem's gate. How few in that music could detect the sad note of approaching disaster, human destiny wrote. Who dreamed of a tragedy soon to befall? Who dreamed that the Savior would perish through hate? Palm Sunday, the multitude did gather in joy, strewing palm fronds before him at Jerusalem's gate. How few in that music could detect the sad note of approaching disaster by human destiny wrote.
Lord, when in darkness, Lord, in confusion, always I'll follow thee.
Lord, when in darkness, Lord, in confusion, always I'll follow thee.
If I grieve or lose my way, only thou canst comfort me. If I grieve or lose my way, only thou canst comfort me. All I live for is to love thee, my eternal friend. All I live for is to love thee, my eternal friend. Lord, when in darkness, Lord, in confusion, always I'll follow thee. Lord, when in darkness, Lord, in confusion, always I'll follow thee. If I grieve or lose my way, only thou canst comfort me. If I grieve or lose my way, only thou canst comfort me. All I live for is to love thee, my eternal friend. All I live for is to love thee, my eternal friend. Lord, when in darkness, Lord, in confusion, always I'll follow thee. Lord, when in darkness, Lord, in confusion, always I'll follow thee. If I grieve or lose my way,
comfort me. If I grieve or lose my way, only thou canst comfort me. All I live for is to love thee, my beloved friend. All I live for is to love thee, my beloved friend. Lord, when in darkness, Lord, in confusion, always I'll follow thee. Lord, when in darkness, Lord, in confusion, always I'll follow thee. If I grieve or lose my way, only thou canst comfort me. If I grieve or lose my way, only thou canst comfort me. All I live for is to love thee, my eternal friend. All I live for is to love thee, my eternal friend. All I live for is to love thee, my eternal friend. My eternal friend. My
Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. There was a garden there, and he went into it with his disciples. Judas, the traitor, knew the place well, since Jesus had often met his disciples there. Judas brought the cohort to this place, together with a detachment of guards sent by the chief priests and Pharisees, all with lanterns and torches and weapons. Knowing everything that was going to happen to him, Jesus then came forward and said, "Who are you looking for?" They answered, "Jesus the Nazarene." He said, "I am he." Now Judas the traitor was standing among them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they moved back and fell to the ground. He asked them a second time, "Who are you looking for?" They said, "Jesus the Nazarene." "I have told you that I am he," replied Jesus. "If I am the one you are looking for, let these others go." This was to fulfill the words he had spoken, "Not one of those you gave me, I lost." Simon Peter, who carried a sword, drew it and wounded the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back in its scabbard. Am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me?"
The sorrow of Jesus was not for himself. He grieved for God's love, which eternally given is spurned by God's children, lost in forests of pride. This cup pass from me, let my heart not know so much pain. Must the love thou bearest thy children ever suffer such disdain? Would that I might reveal thy greatness, nevertheless thy will be done. Lord, let this cup pass from me, let my heart not know so much pain. Must the love thou bearest thy children ever suffer such disdain? Would that I might reveal thy greatness, nevertheless thy will be
may come,
devotees may go, but I will be thine always, my Lord, I will be thine always. When I die, look into mine eyes, when I die, look into mine eyes, they will mutely say, I will be thine always, my Lord, I will be thine always. I may go far, farther than the stars, I may go far, farther than the stars, but I will be thine always, my Lord, I will be thine always. Devotees may come, devotees may go, devotees may come, devotees may go, but I will be thine always, my Lord, I will be thine always. When I die, when I die, look into mine eyes, they will mutely say, I will be thine always, my Lord, I will be thine always. I may go far, farther than the stars, I may go far, farther than the stars, but I will be thine always, my Lord, I will be thine always. Devotees may come, devotees may go, devotees may come, devotees may go, but I will be thine always, my Lord, I will be thine always. When I die, look into mine eyes, when I die, look into mine eyes, they will mutely say, I will be thine always, my Lord, I will be thine always, my Lord, I will be thine always, my Lord, I will be thine always.
The cohort and its captain and the guards seized Jesus and bound him. They took him first to Annas, because Annas was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was a high priest that year. it was Caiaphas who had suggested, "It is better for one man to die for the people." Simon Peter, with another disciple, followed Jesus. This disciple, who was known to the high priest, went with Jesus into the high priest's palace, but Peter stayed outside the door. So the other disciple, the one known to the high priest, went out, spoke to the woman who was keeping the door, and brought Peter in. The maid on duty at the door said to Peter, "Aren't you another of that man's disciples?" He answered, "I am not." Now it was cold, and the servants and guards had lit a charcoal fire and were standing there warming themselves. So Peter stood there too, warming himself with the others. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teachings. Jesus answered, "I have spoken openly for all the world to hear. I have always taught in the synagogue and in the temple, where all meet together. I have said nothing in secret. But why ask me? Ask my hearers what I taught. They know what I said." At these words, one of the guards standing by gave Jesus a slap in the face, saying, "Is that the way to answer the high priest?" Jesus replied, "If there is something wrong in what I said, point it out. But if there is no offense in it, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him, still bound, to Caiaphas, the high priest. As Simon Peter stood there warming himself, someone said to him, "Aren't you another of his disciples?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relation of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, said, "Didn't I see you in the garden with him?" Again, Peter denied it, and at once a cock crew.
Years or till tomorrow, in the valley of sorrow, a thousand years or till tomorrow, but I'll wait to see you. My Lord, I want to see only you, you, just you. My heart's aflame, my soul's afire. My heart's aflame, my soul's afire. Just for you, you. My Lord, I want to see only you, 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 just you. In the valley of sorrow, a thousand years or till tomorrow. In the valley of sorrow, a thousand years or till tomorrow. But I'll wait to see you, 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 just you. My Lord, I want to see only you, 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 just you. My heart's aflame, my soul's afire. My heart's aflame, my soul's afire. just for you, 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 just you. My Lord, I want to see only you, 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 just you. In the valley of sorrow, a thousand years, or till tomorrow. In the valley of sorrow, a thousand years, or till tomorrow. But I'll wait to see you, 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 just you. My Lord, I want to see only you, 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 just you. My heart's aflame, my soul's afire. My heart's aflame, my soul's afire. Just for you, 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 just you. My Lord, I want to see only you, 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 just you. In the valley of sorrow, a thousand years, or till tomorrow. In the valley of sorrow, a thousand years, or till tomorrow. But I'll wait to see you, to see only you, 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 just you. My heart's aflame, my soul's afire. My heart's aflame, my soul's afire. Just for you, to see only you, 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 just you. My Lord, I want to see only you, 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 just you.
They then led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the praetorium. It was now morning. They did not go into the praetorium themselves. They would have defiled, they would be defiled and unable to eat the Passover. So Pilate came outside to them and said, "What charge do you bring against this man?" They replied, "If he were not a criminal, we should not be handing him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and try him by your own law." They answered, "We are not allowed to put a man to death." This was to fulfill the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the way he was going to die. So Pilate went back into the praetorium and called Jesus to him. "Are you king of the Jews?" he asked. Jesus replied, "Do you ask this of your own accord, or have others spoken to you about me?" Pilate answered, "It is your own people and the chief priests who have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus replied, "Mine is not a kingdom of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my men would have fought to prevent my being surrendered to the guards. But my kingdom is not of this kind." So you are a king, said Pilate. It is you who say it, answered Jesus. Yes, I am a king. I was born for this. I came into the world for this, to bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Truth, said Pilate. What is that? And with that, he went out again to the crowd and said, I find no case against him, but according to the custom of yours, I should release one prisoner at the Passover. Would you like me then to release the king of the Jews? At this, they shouted, not this man, they said, but Barabbas. Barabbas was a brigand.
Through thy mercy,
Still I see the path through thy mercy. I have made thee pole star of my life. I have made thee pole star of my life. Though my sea is dark and my stars are gone, though my sea is dark and my stars are gone, still I see the path through thy mercy. Still I see the path through thy mercy. I have made thee pole star of my life. I have made thee pole star of my life. Though my sea is dark and my stars are gone, though my sea is dark and my stars are gone, still I see the path through thy mercy. Still I see the path through thy mercy. I have made thee pole star of my life. I have made thee pole star of my life. Though my sea is dark and my stars are gone, though my sea is dark and my stars are gone, still I see the path through thy mercy. 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 I have made thee pole star of my life.
Pilate then had Jesus taken away and scourged. And after this, the soldiers twisted some thorns into a crown and put it on his head and dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him and saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they slapped him in the face. Pilate came out outside again and said to them, "Look, I am going to bring him to you to let you see that I find no case." Jesus then came out wearing the crown of thorns in the purple robe. Pilate said, "Here is the man." When they saw him, the chief priests and the guards shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I can find no case against him." "We have a law," they replied, "and according to that law, he ought to die because he has claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard them say this, his fears increased. Re-entering the praetorium, he said to Jesus, "Where do you come from?" But Jesus made no answer. Pilate then said to him, "Are you refusing to speak to me? Surely you know I have power to release you, and I have power to crucify you." "You would have no power over me," replied Jesus, "if it had not been given you from above. That is why the one who handed me over to you has a greater guilt." From that moment, Pilate was anxious to set him free, but the crowd shouted, If you set him free, you are no friend of Caesar's. Anyone who makes himself king is defying Caesar." Hearing these words, Pilate had Jesus brought out and seated himself on the chair of judgment. It was Passover preparation day, about the sixth hour. "Here is your king," said Pilate to the crowd. Take him away," they said, "crucify him." "Do you want me to crucify your king?" said Pilate. The chief priests answered, "We have no king except Caesar." So in the end, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified.
Thy will, Thy will, Thy will be done. All that I am is Thine.
Took charge of Jesus, and carrying his own cross, he went out of the city to the place called Golgotha, where they crucified him with two others, one on either side, with Jesus in the middle. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Pilate wrote out a notice and had it fixed to the cross. It ran, "Jesus the Nazarene, King of the Jews." The notice was read by many, because the place where Jesus was crucified was not far from the city, and the writing was in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. So the chief priest said to Pilate, "You should not write, King of the Jews, but that, 'This man said, I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had finished crucifying Jesus, they took his clothing and divided it into four shares, one for each soldier. His undergarment was seamless, woven in one piece from neck to hem. So they said to one another, "Instead of tearing it, let's throw dice to decide who is to have it." In this way, the words of Scripture were fulfilled. "They shared out my clothing among them. They cast lots for my clothes." This is exactly what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, and his mother's sister, also the disciple he loved, and Mary of Magdala. Seeing his mother and the disciple standing near, Jesus said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then to the disciple he said, "Behold your mother." And from that moment, the disciple made a place for her in his home. After this, Jesus knew that everything had now been completed. And to fulfill the scripture perfectly, he said, "I thirst." A jar full of vinegar stood there. So putting a sponge soaked in the vinegar on a hyssop stick, they held it up to his mouth. After Jesus had taken the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit.
Whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth thee, Israel, shall neither sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. The Lord shall preserve thy soul. Preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and even
Yogananda's Whispers from Eternity. O Christ, thou great lover of all error-torn brothers, an unseen monument of the mightiest miracle of love was established in every heart when the magic of thy voice uttered, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Thou hast healed the cataract of hatred. We have now grown to see thy truth. Love thine enemies as thyself, for they are thy brothers, though sick and sleeping. O shepherd of souls, wandering hearts are seeking of themselves the one fold of divine devotion. We have heard the ever-calling music of thy infinite kindness. Our one desire is to find our home in thee, to receive the cosmic Father with the joyous, open eyes of wisdom, and to know that all of us are sons of our own one God. Teach us to conquer the Satan of dividing selfishness, which prevents the gathering of all our brother souls into the one fold of spirit. Calling to another, one another, by the watchword, love him who loves you, and love all who love you not. Let us rally beneath the canopy of the universal oneness of the Christ. Om, peace. Amen.
Sweet and death a dream. Oh, life is sweet and death a dream. When thy song flows through me, my Lord, when thy song flows through me, then joy is sweet, sorrow a dream. Then joy is sweet, sorrow a dream. When thy song flows through me, my Lord, when thy song flows through me, then health is sweet, sickness a dream. Then health is sweet, sickness a dream. When thy song flows through me, my Lord, when thy song flows through me, then praise is sweet and blame a dream. Then praise is sweet and blame a dream. When thy song flows through me, my Lord, when thy song flows through me, oh, life is sweet and death a dream. Oh, life is sweet and death a dream. When thy song flows through me, my Lord, when thy song flows through me, then joy is sweet, sorrow a dream. Then joy is sweet, sorrow a dream. When thy song flows through me, my Lord, when thy song flows through me, then health is sweet, sickness a dream. Then health is sweet, sickness a dream. When thy song flows through me, my Lord, when thy song flows through me, then praise is sweet and blame a dream. Then praise is sweet and blame a dream. When thy song flows through me, my Lord, when thy song flows through me, oh, life is sweet and death a dream. Oh, life is sweet and death a dream. When thy song flows through me, my Lord, when thy song flows through me, when thy song flows through me, my Lord, when thy song flows through me.
There's a line in the Festival of Light which we hear or read almost every Sunday, and it's a sequence. First, it's in the story of the little bird, and the bird is caught in tumultuous winds, and he doesn't really know how he's going to be able to make it through the tumultuous winds. And then the nature speaks to him and says, you know, go with the flow and I'll be able to lift you. If you're fighting against it, you don't have a chance, but go with me. And so the little bird tests out the theory and finds that the wind actually, instead of plunging him to earth, lifts him up above the clouds, and he goes up above the storm. And then the story tells us that after a time, night fell. And so the bird has worked things out to the point where he can flow with the wind, but it's still daylight and he can still see the path for himself. But then it becomes night, and now he can't tell where he's going. He doesn't have any idea where this force is taking him. And he becomes quite panic-stricken, and he cries out, how can I fly in this darkness? And the answer given is, surrender to me. And then it says, peace awaits you in the unknown. And then in the story it says, and after a time, the tiny rebel surrendered. And he found the night's counsel true. In other words, the darkness had not lied to him. Even though he didn't understand it, and even by that statement, after a time, he surrendered to it. And then he found that the night had told him the truth. Well, this story about the life of Jesus, especially where we stand right now, and in the traditional story, the church is made very dark during Good Friday, and we all, as Swamiji said, pretend we don't know that Jesus was resurrected. But looking back to the time when this actually happened, and those disciples did not know where it was going to go, and they were so panicked by what happened, that even Peter, who was such a stalwart disciple, lost his nerve in the face of all that was happening. And as Jesus had predicted, three times Peter denied that he even knew Jesus, three times before the dawn came. And then when the dawn came by the rooster crowing, Peter came out of his fear, and from that point was very steadfast. But what happened to those disciples during that period of time, in the most profound sense, is that it became very, very dark. And thinking of it from the other side, here is Jesus who knows the whole story of his life. And when you add into this story the lost years of Jesus, the so-called lost years, when Jesus went to India and spent 18 years in India, I mean the majority of his life, he spent 18 years in India. He studied with the Himalayan masters, and then the masters sent him all over India. And among other things, he went to Puri, and he went to the Jagannath Temple, and he disputed with the priests there and tried to get the priests to have a broader idea of how they interpreted their own teaching, and they rejected him. And then Jesus knew that whatever mission he had in India, he was the avatar for the Jewish people, and he had to go back. So he went, he followed the route back, the same that as he had followed it to India, he followed it back, knowing exactly where he was going and what was going to happen. And so there he is for these 3.5 years, which is a very short period of time. Now, who knows how much more is lost? How many of his disciples were with him in India? How much he talked to them? We don't know any of that. But certainly much of what was going to take place, he didn't tell them, because they would have no way of understanding it. But all the while that he was training them, he was trying to give them what they would need to be able to face when all the light was gone, and instead of panicking and running away, would be able to use that very darkness to become stronger in what they knew to be the light. And when you read the story of the Last Supper, of all of his sitting there and talking to his disciples, and it was their last time together, and he opens that evening by going to his disciples and washing their feet. He's their master. They have consider him to be the divine incarnate, however they understood that. Suddenly he's kneeling at their feet and washing their feet. He's completely confounding their whole ideas. Peter, again, always the outspoken one, says, "Lord, I can't allow you to do this." And then Jesus answers. He said, "If you don't allow this, then you are not my disciple." And then Peter says, and I'm sure everyone laughed when he said it. He said, "Well, Lord, then not only my feet, but my hands and my head, you know, whatever will make me your disciple, that's what I want." But, and then he went and he talked and he talked, and he in every way possible, he tried to make them ready. He warned Peter what was going to happen to him. He said, "I'm going where you can't follow." Peter said, "I'll follow you anywhere." Jesus said, "Oh, really?" He said, "Three times before the cock crows tomorrow morning, you will say that you didn't even know me." And Peter, of course, how could he say that to him? But all of what Jesus was doing, step by step, in every possible way, was getting them ready. So that when the darkness came, and the allegory of the bird, we hear that every week because it's so important. "How can I fly in this darkness? I'm ready to trust you, Lord, as long as I can still see." And what God does with us, he just keeps pushing us. He just keeps pushing us. He just keeps pushing us. Sister Gyanamata put it this way. She said, "Everything has to be given up." And she said, "Even those things that harmed no one," and as she put it, "that were mine by right." She said, "Even that had to be surrendered." And don't misunderstand. It's not that we need to become impoverished or anything like that. But we must rely only on the divine. In the little Sister Gyanamata, in the monologue that I know memorized of her words, She says when she was 4 years old, her earliest memory being in this Christian church somewhere in Canada, and when the minister told us, God will not allow you to rely on anything but him. At 4 years old, Kyanamata said, I understood him perfectly. And so we save our little bits and pieces. Well, if I can just understand, if I can just see the way, if I can just put out this. And then the allegory says, it's night. I can't fly because I can't see. And the darkness itself, the voice of God from the darkness, says, surrender to me. On the other side of it is what you're looking for. And Jesus' disciples just went into a panic. You know, suddenly he's been taken away. He's been arrested. It looks like he's going to be crucified. They actually take him and they crucify him. I'm sure every step of the way they're looking at each other. You know, is this the moment? Is this the moment when the power that we know is in him? And Peter had already tried to save him with the sword. When he was first arrested, what happens? Peter pulls his sword. He's going to fight. He's not going to let his master be taken. And Jesus says, no. And further in the Bible, the ear was cut off and Jesus picked up the ear and put it back on. You know, put your sword away. So here's what is Peter supposed to do? And he did what his master told him to do. He stood there and let Jesus be taken. Can you imagine how bewildering that must have been? You know, just to sit here and somebody comes and takes one of our number away, but we're not allowed even to fight for him? Oh, how can I fly in this darkness? And then he dies. And they take him off the cross and they put him in the tomb. And then these days pass of the Sabbath when they can't even do anything. Just think of those days. And where are you going to find the strength? There's an amazing book that Swami wrote, his last book, Love Perfected, Life Divine. It's a beautiful story, and I made an audio book out of it, and it's posted on the website because nobody would ever buy it, so we just give it away. But I did it because I so wanted to experience that story. Because it's a woman is the protagonist, and so it had to be recorded by a woman. And it's a complicated story, but she has to go through what literally in the end is trial by fire. And it's an artificially created situation with her master, but he puts her through test after test after test after test. She has no idea what's going on, but each time she's pushed absolutely in total confusion to the limit of what she can understand, and in the last moment just has to believe, you know, that she can step into that. She's taken to a high peak and she has to throw herself literally over a precipice into the dark. And in the end, she's compelled. She knows that God is compelling her to walk through fire. She's looking at fire and she has to walk through that fire. You know, how can I do this? And the night, the darkness itself answers you. You know, there's a paradox in spiritual life with many spiritual people talk about. Master repudiated it at the end. Come to me as sorrow. At the end, Master said, I've had too much sorrow. I can't invite God to send me more. Come to me as sorrow, because then I will be thinking of you all the time. And that's why the darkness comes, because then we have to cling so much harder. You know, if we can see and if we're in command and if it's all going our way, sometimes we forget. But when that darkness comes, then we have to find out, what am I relying upon and how much faith do I really have? I don't have the courage to pray for sorrow. But many times, even just contemplating the story of Jesus, if I were a disciple and I saw him taken, what would I do? What would I believe? What would I trust? How would I decide? You know, very interestingly, you all know that the last few weeks I spent with Tushti while she was leaving this world, and my part of her transition together we sort of unraveled, you know, attachments, misunderstandings, and we were sort of a lot of us around, and we took turns kind of taking care of her, and then there were just moments when you would sort of know it was your turn. And she found herself, because it seemed that she would exit her body almost 10 or 12 days before she actually did. And there was a period of time when she was ready to depart and would go very far away, but would always come back. And it was confusing her, as best as I can understand. I mean, communication wasn't, much of it was intuitive, so you had to, you know, few words, a little bit of vocabulary, but also intuition. And it was, she sort of asked a question that was not dissimilar to what Paula asked when Paula was dying, and many of you know about how consciously Paula died. And Paula also was sort of saying, this isn't as easy as I thought it would be. And I was thinking about that. Master has a Maha Samadhi, which means that's his final experience of Samadhi. And in that one, he doesn't return. So the implication of that, obviously, is that he goes into that state regularly, but he always comes back. And a master can stop his breath, he can stop his heart, he can completely control the physical body. Masters can be buried alive for long periods of time and still come out of it because they have complete mastery over their physical processes. So for a master to stop his heart, as he did on March 7th, 1952, he stopped his heart. He finished the poem, stopped his heart, and went into Mahasamadhi, which is he left and he didn't come back. But unless we go there and come back and go there and come back, we don't necessarily know how to go there and not come back. And especially for us on our path, we're sevakas. We do a lot of service, and a lot of our spiritual development comes through our attunement and our selfless service. And it isn't given to us, to most of us. Some it is given to, but to many of us it's not given that we exclusively just cultivate that capacity. So Tushti is there, and very seriously, it's like, do you know how to do this? And I said, no, I don't remember either. I said, but I think you'll know when you need to know. And what you could see in that moment was everybody's best qualities, everybody's faults are usually their best qualities taken a little too far. Tremendous willpower she has, tremendous capacity to set her mind and do it. So what am I supposed to set my mind on, and how am I supposed to do it? And it occurred to me, as it did during those weeks, many things just occurred to me, and I trusted them. I said, how can I fly in this darkness? There we are every week. How can I fly in this darkness? Surrender to me. Peace awaits you in the unknown. Even in such a moment, how do I know? And I really don't know, because I couldn't enter her consciousness, whether that was even relevant, what to speak of helpful. But in the moment, it seemed to answer. And we went forward from there. But I think about that. How often are we thinking ourselves filled with faith, but really are just still in control? And you think about really horrific things that happen. I recently was reading a very interesting book that involved the Second World War and all that happened to the Jews and how completely they lost control of everything. You know, in such a moment, surrender to me. Peace awaits you in the unknown. So there were the disciples, and it has to be said, the apostles passed the test, and the way Swami describes it, it's so sweet, and it's on Easter morning. He said, after, they didn't know what was going on, but they came together. Which is to say, they didn't know what had happened and what was going to happen, but they knew that the answer lay with one another. You see, they were the Master's children, and by coming back to each other, you see, they were coming back to their faith in Jesus. And it was when they were gathered together that he appeared resurrected. How powerful that is, isn't it? Imagine they were there together. What were they talking about before he was resurrected? What were they doing? I'm sure they were trying to find their way in faith through the darkness. And because of that, he was able to reach them. In our own lives, when that moment comes, how can I go on? I don't have the strength. I don't have the creativity. I don't have the will. I don't have the physical energy. I don't have the wisdom. Ah, how can I fly in this darkness? Surrender to me. Peace awaits you in the unknown. And after a time, how long a time? That's for the soul to decide, each one of us. The tiny rebel surrendered, and he found the knight's counsel was true. God bless you.
We've come to the time in our program now where we do what is called a purification ceremony. It's always a perfect thing to do, but it's particularly perfect after this beautiful talk that Asha just gave. Everyone should have received a piece of paper from the back of the room, and you'll notice across the top of it some words that say, "I seek purification by the grace of God." So on that paper, write something that you would like to use as a way of connecting deeply with Christ consciousness. It's called a purification ceremony because it allows us, through offering our energy right now in the form of the words we write on this paper and where our thoughts are and where our intention is, into this bowl, and these will later be burned, therefore looking at fire as a way of transforming energy, as moving us from that place where we're fixed and solid and firmly planted, and going through this purifying stage where we then expand into our heart and beyond into a state of superconsciousness. So you write something on that paper, a quality that you would like to consciously let go of, something within yourself that you would like to make stronger, feel more of a connection to God, knowing that whether you're offering up to Christ now something that's a problem for you or something that you just want to strengthen, you were already connected to him through that quality. You come before one of the light bearers and you say those words, "I seek purification by the grace of God." We then say to you, acting as channels for these masters, for Christ, "Open your heart to me, and I will enter and take charge of your life," just as Asha was just telling us. We'll pray with you, we'll bless you at the heart center, and finish with the words, "By the grace of our masters, you are free." And at that point, you take that paper, and you come up to the altar and place it in a bowl that's up here. We will burn them later. Take a moment to realize you're not just putting a paper there, but you're offering yourself. It's a very intimate moment between you and Christ consciousness. So we'll, and then you'll return to your seats. I believe there's one more piece of music, and then we'll close with a prayer. So if the light bearers will come up, just take a moment to arrange ourselves before we start the ceremony. End with a prayer. Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Friend, Beloved God, Jesus Christ, Babaji Krishna, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Yukteswar. Our beloved Gurudeva, Paramahansa Yogananda, saints of all religions, we lovingly bow before all of you. Beloved Christ, help us to transform ourselves into the perfect beings that we are. Through your love, through your constant forgiveness, through your infinite generosity of spirit, and because you always see us as perfect beings, as light, and as love. Om. Peace. Amen.